Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
It seems the darkness is creeping up on us from every direction. Calamity can hit when we least expect it, and one Old Testament prophet knew about this all too well. It's all wrapped up in understanding God's purposes, even in disaster. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? That's the title of Erwin Lutzer's new book, a book we'd like each of our listeners to have. Here again to discuss that book is Pastor Lutzer, along with Pastor Larry McCarthy.
What I want to do is to move on, but before we do, I want to say to all those who are listening, at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given some contact info as to how you can receive a copy of the book entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? The subtitle is A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. And I feel very deeply that this is a book that is going to be needed for your young people. It's going to be needed for all those who deconstruct from the Christian faith, because after all, God doesn't come through for them the way in which they think He should. We think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you. Larry, in a moment we're going to move on to chapter 4, which is the story of the prophet Habakkuk. Fascinating. But before we do, just to add a footnote to what we said about Abraham, isn't that interesting that a few people can have such great influence in society? I'm thinking of the fact that God says if there were 10 righteous in Sodom, He would not have destroyed the city. Now, in this instance, He took Lot and his family out of the city and then destroyed it. But oftentimes we underestimate the power of a few righteous people in a city or in a culture.
Amen. I hope our listeners are encouraged, because oftentimes you can just feel it's just me, or there are only a few of us, but a few righteous people, this is a quote from the manuscript, few righteous people have a mighty impact. They preach the gospel. They live godly lives. They pray for the government. They promote education. They help the poor. You say they're preserving the society from decay. It's these few who are doing that.
I know that this is something that has to be said with a great deal of care, but if I might say it, that the world itself has no idea of the impact of Christians and the good that they are able to do in a society.
Yes, amen.
But we have to move on, because here we have the story of Habakkuk. This now is chapter 4 in the book, and I find this fascinating. Fascinating for America, fascinating for all those who struggle with issues and wonder how they're going to get through a difficult situation. Here's Habakkuk, and there are many people who perhaps have never read this book, or if they have, they forgot about it. It's really one of the minor prophets, not because he was unimportant, but because it is shorter than some of the longer prophets. But here is Habakkuk. He's crying up to God, and I'm doing all this from memory, so it may not be word for word, but the first verse is, O Lord, how long do I cry unto you? And why is it that you don't see? And why is it that you don't hear? There is so much violence in our society, and you are doing nothing. He is saying, God, are you blind and are you deaf?
Yes. Again, I love the intro into this topic, but then he gets an answer from God. He says, it's violent here. And God says, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, he thinks to himself, if I have a problem with God now, I sure have a problem with him after I receive the answer.
Tell our listeners what God answers to.
God answers and says, I am doing something. I am sending the Babylonians to you to destroy your country.
Tear it up. They're going to rip it from one end to the other.
Yeah. Because they were terrifying. They, of course, were very mean, very cruel, very evil. And so Habakkuk has a greater problem. And he says, Lord, I mean, aren't you holy? Can you look upon evil? Are you actually able to see the devastation and the horror of sin? And then God replies. I mean, this is almost like a telephone conversation, you know. By the way, Larry, wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I could call up God and have a discussion with him like Habakkuk did?
You don't do that every morning?
And then God shows Habakkuk, I am going to judge the wicked. I am a God of justice. What I'm doing is right. So then Habakkuk is willing to stand before the Lord, and at the end of chapter 2 he is, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. But here's the point, Larry. Before he gets to that particular conclusion, he says, the just shall live by faith.
Wow.
And that becomes a very important verse, quoted 3 times in the New Testament. And of course, we know that the Apostle Paul quoted it in Romans 1. And it really became the slogan for the Protestant Reformation. The just shall live by faith. So Habakkuk gets to that point, and finally, he says, okay, God, I'm going to believe you even if it doesn't make sense to me.
Yes, I can't see it. I don't understand it. I'm not even sure I like it, but I trust you.
Yeah.
That is a profound reminder to us that we live by faith.
You know, I have frequently said that we do not live by explanations, we do live by promises. And so the just shall live by faith. But for all those of you who are listening, I want you to continue to listen and to listen carefully because we haven't given you the end of the book. What God does is God shows up and God rehearses his faithfulness to Israel. You know, one of the things that we need to do when we begin to doubt is to look back over our lives. We have to be able to see what God has done historically for us, for our families. And no matter how bad things were, oftentimes we are able to see great instances of grace. So God rehearses what happened. And God says to the prophet, in effect, number one, always remember I do care about you.
Amen.
But number two, I'm sovereign, so I know what I'm doing. Now, I need to read directly from the Bible for the end of the book because you don't expect this. I remember the first time I read Habakkuk, I actually preached a message on it, and I was surprised. Somehow, my own heart was deeply stirred when I read what Habakkuk had to say. So I'm reading directly here from chapter 3. He says, my body trembles, this is verse 16, my lips quiver at the sound, rottenness enters into my bones, my legs tremble beneath me, yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble. Imagine that, Larry.
Yes.
He's going to wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. So what he's saying is, I'm waiting for judgment for the Babylonians that are going to come, but I'm also waiting for the judgment that we are going to have to endure as members of God's family, namely here of Israel. But now, I want everyone to listen to this, because your heart is going to be blessed. Imagine this. Let's remember the context. God says, I'm going to judge you. The Babylonians are going to come and destroy the land. And this is what the prophet says. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's feet. He makes me tread on high places. wow, Larry, you wouldn't expect that this experience of a prophet would end with such a burst of joy and faith.
I'm encouraged. I hope our listeners are encouraged because we see his humanity. He was afraid. He's trembling. He's afraid. But faith.
Now, this is very important. William Cooper, who gave us the lines, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He suffered from depression and tried to commit suicide several times. He had such encouragement from this that he rewrote the words that I just read, and I want to read them to you, the way in which he wrote them. Though vine nor fig tree neither their wanted fruit should bear, though all the fields should wither, nor flocks nor herds be there. Yet God the same abiding, his praise shall tune my voice, for while in him confiding, I cannot but rejoice. Here's a prophet who did not receive the answer to the prayer that he prayed for his nation. In fact, seemed as if he got the opposite. But yet at the same time, at the end of the day, he was giving praise to God in a way that just takes our breath away. We could go through his prayer of praise line by line. But then here's a man centuries later by the name of William Cooper who is struggling and who sees in this hope in the midst of depression. And that tells us a lot about unanswered prayer, doesn't it?
It does. And more importantly, I think, Pastor, how to manage our disappointment. We have to revert back to putting our faith and our trust in God. And as you said, his sovereignty. We can't see around the corner or what the purpose is, but we just lean in and trust him.
His sovereignty is our sanity. In a moment, you're going to be given some information as to how this book can be yours. I truly believe it's going to be a blessing to you. And if you know those who have left the Christian faith because they have not seen the answer to their prayers, I believe that God is going to use this book to encourage them and to bring them back to the faith. Because as you constantly hear me say, and I'll say it one more time, we are here to join hands along with you to make it all the way to the finish line. All of our prayers might not be answered, but God is there to meet the needs of his people. This is one of the last days for you to receive the book entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. To receive your copy, here's what you do. Go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com or pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001.
You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Next time, more of this discussion on the why of unanswered prayer. Plan to join Pastors Erwin Lutzer and Larry McCarthy on the greatest unanswered prayer of all. Pastor's new book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers, is a must-read and will be sent for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.